Hi, what's up? All right, I'm going to start off with this. I believe with all my heart and all my shoes that a presidential term should not be 4 years. That's way too long. Way too long. A bad president can do a lot of damage in 4 years. I think that's been proven. Way too long. I want a president of the United States to go to bed concerned that they need everybody's support and wake up with that same concern. I don't want any comfort writing here. In other words, I think presidential term should be 2 years tops. Tops. That way they're constantly running for office. Constantly. They're always in their mind is I've got to do things that'll get me reelected. And that means getting the popular vote. So that's number one. 2 year terms for president. Hey, if you're doing a good job, maybe you can get four. Maybe you can get six. Maybe you can get eight. But in 2 year increments. I know it's probably expensive to run a national election every 2 years. Fuck it. Do it anyway. It's worth it. Spending money, throwing money around anyway, might as well spend it on that. That's number one. Number two, popular vote. Let's get rid of this electoral college. There's a lot of controversy with getting into college these days. It all falls into place. It really has nothing to do with it, but it uses the same word college. Get rid of the electoral college. Do you even know what that is? I think my listeners are smart enough to know that. You win presidential elections by states, by the number of states that you win, not by the number of votes of all the citizens. Popular vote. Just like in the classroom when you were running for class president of the third grade. Hey, by a show of hands, how many want Bobby to be president? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you want Susie to be president? Oh, nobody, huh? Bobby, you win. I mean, that's the way it's done. And that's the way it should be done. So those are my requests. Let's see what happens. Probably nothing. Nothing ever does. I try.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's true.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm not a religious man at all, but if we're going to have some, like, incredible person come down from a mountain and save everybody, come on down. As Bob Barker would say in The Price is Right, come on down. Come down from the mountains, O wise one. Save our planet. Make us all love each other. Stop people from killing each other and doing each other harm. Make our opinions worthwhile, but not enough to divide us and destroy us. Come down from the mountain, that soothsayer, that wise person. Let's have it. Let's have it. It's time. Time's right now. Come on down from the mountain. Why do wise people always live in mountains? I mean, if you're really wise, do you have to move to the top of a mountain? What's with that? And why do you have to have a goat? I fear that the three wise men in biblical history was really just the beginning of the saga of the Three Stooges. I fear that. Where are the smart people? Where are the smart people? Are they up top of the mountain as well? Is everybody at the top of the mountain? Doesn't want to come down? Come off the mountain, please. Save us. I think I have an interesting show for you today. It might be worthwhile sticking around. As I said on many, many shows previously, one of my greatest concerns about myself and about you are the fact that we eat animals. Now, I am not a vegan. I'm not a vegan. I'm not a whatever you call those things. I eat meat. I don't eat a lot of meat. I eat a very small quantity every once in a while. I don't go to barbecues every day of my life, and I don't go shooting animals. However, I do eat things with a face. I think that's pretty much the definition. And it bothers me. It bothers me. And here's the problem. Things with a face are very tasty. Things without faces don't taste that good. That's the dilemma. It's the temptations of life. Literally, I should be eating nuts and vegetables. I probably would be a lot healthier. My skin would be yellower and more paper thin. And I'd faint on occasion. But nonetheless, that's the way to do it, because that's respect. Now, later on in the show, we're going to speak to one of the head honchos with pita. I'm not talking about pita bread, which is rather tasty from time to time, depending on what you put on the pita bread. But I'm not talking about pita bread. I'm talking about PETA, which is the organization to protect animals from cruelty. And every time I hear them talk, and they've been on the show before, I feel guilty. I feel horrible about myself. I feel like I should go to confession. And I'm a Jew. It doesn't make any sense. By the way, Jewish people go to confession every day of their lives. They don't have to go to a church and sit in a box with one of those funny windows. No, Jews confess every day to their friends.
Oh, I can't tell you. I can't tell you what I did yesterday. So I'm out on the lawn, and I pick up a thing, and oh my God, my back. Oh, I'm telling you.
They confess always. I wish they would stop confessing. Anyway, that was an attempt at humor, so just let that go. Anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about. I have no idea. So I feel horrible about myself that I eat animals that have been slaughtered for my delectation. I can't watch movies where animals are hurt. I can't. And I'm not talking about dogs and cats. I'm talking about leopards and lions and beavers and deer. Oh, my God. I saw the movie Bambi once. It solidified this for life. Deers are beautiful animals. Even wild turkeys, they're kind of mean critters, but I get it. I mean, I don't want to see anything living meet its demise in front of me. And yet, I eat turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't picture it fully alive on my plate. I have lobster every once in a while, although they have the opportunity to look at you in the face in the tank before they're dropped into boiling water. I can't, man. I don't know. It's the dilemma of my life. Is still eating meat, while I know that in order to do that, animals have to be slaughtered. It's a wrestling match in my head, between my head and my taste buds. And then, and you'll hear in this interview that I'm going to do, we're going to talk about chickens. Now, I don't know any chickens personally. I do know some people that raise chickens, at least 3 feet off the ground. I eat eggs. I don't love them. Sometimes I'm in the mood for them. I eat them. It's a breakfast food, usually. But then I find out that any egg that you buy in a supermarket comes from chickens that have been really, like, tortured, man. I mean, I don't know how much of a brain chickens have, but they have one. And they're thrown into cages by the thousands to the point where they can't even move. Their beaks are cut off so they can't peck each other. All to get eggs. Not even to eat them, just to get the eggs out of them. I feel horrible. This should not be. And there are some people that believe in the natural order of things, that human beings rule the earth and everything else is at their disposal. No, it's the other way around. You're at their disposal. You are at the disposal of the planet. The planet can kick you off any moment. We've destroyed the planet. We're destroying the animals. Many species are becoming extinct because we like to shoot them and walk away with the tusks or something. We hang dead things on the wall in lodges in Vermont and Maine. I don't get it. There are people that are hunters that shoot deer that are just standing there. Deers don't carry guns, not that I'm aware of. Deers are shot. What happens to them? They eat them. It's called venison. Sometimes they're just trophies, and they put them on the wall with their heads sticking out of the plywood. I don't think it's right. It just doesn't seem right. Anyway, that's my dilemma. And I don't know if it's your dilemma or not. Perhaps some people think about it, some people don't. Whenever I meet a vegan or a vegan, I really don't know what you... They're all labels. Someone who doesn't eat things with a face. Whenever I talk to them, well, first of all, they smell like garlic because that's all they can eat. But secondly, vegans have bad breath. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know if it's a rule that if you don't eat meat, then you also don't brush your teeth. I really don't know what's going on there. But most vegans, or I don't know if you call them vegans or vegans or schmegans or schmogans. I don't know. But most people that don't eat meat or things with a face, but on the other hand, I respect them so much. I put them on a pedestal. Like, you guys, really, you get it. You get it. You understand. And I respect that. I respect the fact that they don't eat meat. And if I go a long period of time and I don't eat meat, sometimes when I do eat meat, I get sick. And I know that if I didn't eat meat at all, that I wouldn't want meat at all after a while. I get that. I understand that. But I don't like to deprive myself of things that are available to me. But at the same time, my point here is here that I respect these people that don't eat things with a face. I don't know. I'm not sure. All right, kids, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more program as I self-annihilate myself mentally.
The internet has literally millions upon millions of sites offering entertainment, information, and insights. And yet you ended up here. Oh, that's got to sting just a little bit, huh? Well, make the most of it. It's the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hey, are you having a party? A lot of people have parties these days. I don't know why. They invite people over to their house in large numbers. I don't quite understand why that would happen. But if you do, you might consider this.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, "Oh, look at the time"? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, fancy bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Ashley Byrne joins us. She's the Associate Director of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We know it as PETA. And we're talking about... This is interesting, and I'm glad you're here, because I was actually thinking about this a few days ago, because I like to eat eggs, and I apologize for that, but I'm confused. I'm confused about things. Everything is labeled with these organic and humane and cage-free, but I don't know if it's really true or even what it might necessarily represent.
Well, Ron, you know, I think a lot of people feel that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what we've seen in the past several years is that consumers with good intentions, they've seen the images of, you know, these horrific factory farms.
Yes.
You know, like, for instance, the ones where eggs are produced, where chickens are just stacked on top of each other and there are 10 of them in a cage and they're, you know, the feces is falling on the chickens below and it's so horrific. And so... Yeah. In trying to do better, they, you know, people are buying these products that are labeled cage-free, humane, organic, not knowing that so often the difference for the animals is negligible, or in some cases, you know, like with the organic label, it literally means pretty much nothing for the animals.
That's what I thought.
So we're very glad to be having this conversation because people who are trying to do the right thing shouldn't be faced with these labels that are misleading them into buying products and thinking they're buying something that is good for animals when they're really not.
Well, I guess I have two parts to this question before we get into what to do about it. What exactly are these definitions, and are they? Is there any agency or any authentication that these situations are being handled as stamped on a carton?
Mm-hmm. Well, so labels, you know, I think the one that we see most often, or, you know, one of the most common ones that we see is certified humane.
Okay.
And that's supposed to, you know, people take that to mean that they are, you know, buying a product that is actually, you know, humane towards animals.
Right.
Certified humane standards were intended to reduce suffering, but typically this happens in very insufficient ways that don't even come close to eliminating it.
All right.
And so for, you know, if you're talking about eggs, for example, the certified humane label allows the sourcing of chickens from hatcheries that kill all the male chicks by throwing them into a macerator, basically grinding them up alive. And it also allows cutting off the ends of baby hens' beaks with a hot blade so that they don't peck each other in stressful, crowded conditions.
Right.
Which, if we're talking about a humane situation, why are they in a stressful, crowded condition?
Right.
And, you know, I think if you look at the footage that PETA has taken on certified humane farms, it's not what most people would think of as humane, and it's not what people think they're buying.
Well, what would I look for to use that phrase humane? I mean, I don't know the difference between cage-free and free-range, for example. Is that the same thing?
You know, that's a good question, too. When you see something labeled cage-free or free-range, I think most of us think of, you know, animals outside, you know, in a field in the sun with space roaming around. And frankly, that's not what we find on most or many of these free-range farms. Chickens on a free-range farm can be kept in a shed with roughly 20,000 hens, and only a small opening onto a little strip of grass or dirt outside. And so on, you know, on many of these farms, a hen would have to fight her way through crowds of thousands of aggressive, stressed out, socially dominant hens in order to get out of the shed. So most of them are just not coming near that outdoor area. And, you know, some veterinarians who have viewed footage of, you know, of these types of farms have said that the outdoor areas are really window dressing to back up marketing claims, but they do little to substantially improve most of the hens' lives because they're never going to reach that outdoor area. So, you know, I think when we hear free range, cage free, I mean, and cage free, again, you know, because the hens aren't in cages, it doesn't mean that they aren't suffering. You know, if a hen is crowded into a shed with 20,000 other hens, not getting daylight, not getting, you know, to roam and forage outside and have a proper social structure and do what's natural for her, that is not going to be a happy animal.
So one might feel, a consumer might feel like they're being duped by words that don't necessarily mean what they think they mean, or even duped to buy more expensive eggs, figuring that there's different treatment, but there really isn't to that extent at all. What do we do about it? Is someone doing a lawsuit or something?
You know, right now, there actually is a class action lawsuit being filed in New York federal court against a company called Pete and Jerry's Organics, LLC, and Nelly's Free Range Eggs on behalf of consumers. Yes, and, you know, and these consumers feel that they were misled into buying eggs sold under the Nelly's label. Because the lawsuit details how Nelly's cartons depict hens enjoying vast, lush, grassy fields. And they include claims such as, "We love our hens." The brand makes similar claims on its website, where you'll see, you know, videos of hens in very idyllic situations. And then the, you know, you can see on PETA's website that, you know, again, we're actually talking about hens being kept in crowded conditions, you know, where most of them can't reach an outdoor area. So, you know, this lawsuit is doing just that. It's, you know, representing people who do feel they were duped by marketing.
Right. Good. And when that happens, hopefully the other companies say, "I don't want to be a target of this either. I better get my act together." But I mean, are there indeed, manufacturers of eggs? It's a horrible, phrase. I'm sorry.
Actually,
I mean, I guess they are manufactured, just sounds so ill.
I think that's a very fair term now. I think they're more manufacturers than they are farmers.
Okay. Are there actual situations where there are chickens that do have freedom and room to roam around, where they're not shoved into civilizations like that? Does it actually exist at all?
I mean, unfortunately, if you're buying eggs, you know, off a shelf in a grocery store,
probably,
you know,
not.
Chances are they are not coming from a farm like that, because that is just exceedingly rare. You know, I think that unless you are actually seeing chickens, you know,
in a real
backyard, you can assume they're coming from you know, from one of these more industrial settings, because, you know, it's simply a matter of numbers. And you know, even if they are living in a nicer setting, if they're coming from a hatchery, you know, most of these hatcheries that egg-laying hens come from, they kill the male chicks by either grinding them up alive or suffocating them.
Right.
And once, you know, once their bodies can't produce eggs anymore, most of, you know, chickens on most of these operations are going to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And we know that nothing humane happens there. So, you know, we encourage people to explore the delicious vegan alternatives to eggs that are out there now. I mean, there's so many options for baking without eggs. There are egg replacers that you can find in health food stores, in many grocery stores.
Right.
There's even a newer product called the Vegan Egg made by Follow Your Heart. I know that's my go-to for baking.
Mm-hmm.
You can scramble it. You can do all kinds of things with it. And, you know, I think that, frankly, it's better for our health to be skipping eggs anyway, since, you know, they're high in fat and cholesterol and don't contain any fiber. When you consider that and you, you know, consider the conditions that these hens are living in,
right,
it's an easy decision.
I guess, yeah. Or if you have a farmland in the area that actually sells them in a, you know, in a small farm situation, I guess that's all right.
Right.
But there, as you say, mass production, supermarkets, mass production is no way around it, pretty much.
Right. Well, and, you know, as an animal rights group, we don't condone using animals for, you know, for any reason, which is why PETA promotes a healthy vegan lifestyle.
Right.
But however, we would not oppose eating eggs from chickens who are, you know, companions.
Yeah, if
the birds are
right.
receiving excellent care and
sure.
they're not purchased from hatcheries who are committing horrors.
Of
but,
course.
You know, we just encourage people to make sure they're ready for the commitment of adopting chickens.
Well, you just, you don't want the suffering of any living thing, and that's the bottom line to the whole thing.
Exactly. And so, you know, when you bring any animal into your home, you want to be sure you're prepared for the responsibility
right.
of having them.
Well, how do we get more information?
People can visit PETA.org. They can watch the footage that we were discussing of industrial farms, of the farms with of the farms with the, you know, certified humane label, and judge for themselves whether they think it looks humane.
Well,
but they
yeah.
can also have great resources there about how to bypass eggs when you're when you're baking, when you're making breakfast. There's so many great alternatives.
Yeah. I get a little confused about the videos of the chickens and people at the southern border, immigrants. So I, you know, they look the same to me sometimes, unfortunately. And you don't have to comment.
Well, I would just say if you watch PETA's website and watch our videos, I think.
Okay.
That's one thing about animals. I think wherever we stand on all these other issues.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like most people can come to the table and say that they believe in treating animals humanely.
No question.
I think that's one great thing about these issues. We can all agree.
True. Very true. Hey, Ashley, thank you for your time today. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, about it for me today. I hope that I've opened the door and some light has shined in. I don't know. I'll be back again on Monday. Until then, I wish you peace.